Amen. Can you hear me? This morning, with a scripture on my heart. Now, for the first time in many, many, many years, Pastor asked me to preach last Sunday. He said, could I preach today and share? And for the first time in many years, I got to the weekend and God hadn't given me anything to share. Now, this hasn't happened to me for many years, and I wasn't worried about it because this is something I knew. The Lord always gives a word. I have been in the past, I've had actually got to the pulpit and still not known what to preach. But the word just comes. God just gives the word.
Amen.
But when I woke up this morning, there was this word, this scripture on my heart, and I just felt before the Lord this was the right one. And it's not a normal message that I would bring. I haven't preached on this for quite a while, but if you've got... Oh, we'll pray first before I read the scriptures.
Give thanks for the offering.
Amen. Yes.
Brought him by faith
for
this morning.
Amen. And if you've got Bibles and you want to follow with me, well, I encourage you to follow with me. We're going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 1. And really, I want to read from verse 4 through to the end of verse 11. And the scripture here, it says this in verse 4, Acts 1, verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.' Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Amen. You know, this scripture that we have just read, really I want to share this morning a little bit on verse 11. And these two and that stood with the disciples, they said to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." You know, I want to share this morning a little bit about what the church calls the second coming of Jesus. Now you've got to understand that when we talk about the second coming is in two phases. We have the first phase of the second coming, which, although you won't find this word in the Bible, this is what we call the rapture. Now just because you don't find the word rapture in the Bible doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You don't find the word Trinity in the Bible, but we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And there are other things you don't find in the Bible. Just because they're not in the Bible doesn't mean to say, or the word doesn't exist in the Bible, that doesn't mean to say that it's not true. Because the teaching is there. So the word we have is the rapture. Or another way we can look at this is the blessed hope of all believers. And the second phase of the second coming is what we call the millennial reign of Christ. Or the glorious appearing, as I believe it's the Apostle Peter puts it. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The millennial reign. Well, let me just quickly, before I get into what I want to share from this in Acts this morning, let me just tell you the difference between the two phases of the second coming. The rapture. Jesus will come to the air. He's coming to the air and he will gather from the earth the saints. Those of us that love him, those of us that are washed in his blood, those of us that are born again of his spirit, those of us that belong to the church of Jesus Christ, the redeemed. Now, not those that come to church. There is a difference. You know, you can go to church week after week and not be part of the redeemed. You know, somebody once said this, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You can go to McDonald's every day of the week. You can eat burger after burger. And you'll never become a burger. You might become the same shape as a burger, but you will never become a burger. And you can go to church week after week. You can go to all the meetings. You can go through all the traditions. You can go through all the rituals. And some of the rituals and traditions are good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're bad. But you can go through all these things. You can pray. You can read the scriptures. You can sing the songs. But unless you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you are not part of the church. You're just in the church. If you want to be a part of the church, you've got to receive Jesus into your heart and into your life. You've got to be part of him. And the Lord is coming in the air, in the rapture. He's coming for his saints. He's coming for his bride. He's coming for his church. And the scripture tells us this, that in Thessalonians, and we'll look at this in a little while, but it says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air.
Hallelujah.
And thus we shall ever be with him. Amen. Corinthians puts it like this. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says that in that moment, at the rapture, we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You know, our mortal flesh shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. You know, and that's going to happen quicker than your eye will twinkle. You know how long it takes for the twinkling of an eye? Just a millisecond. And in that time, your body will be changed. You know, you can shed and you will put off this body which is decaying. This body which is racked with imperfections. You know, your body which is susceptible to pain and suffering. I don't know whether you're like me, but I'm getting to the age now when I get out of bed, I'm a little stiff. But you know, we're going to put off this body. Put off its stiffness, put off its pains, put off its imperfections. We're going to get rid of this body and we are going to receive a glorious body. A body without pain, a body without sickness, a body without decay, a body without wrinkle. Amen. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, the scripture says in Corinthians. Yes, and we will ever be with the Lord. We're with the Lord now, but we're going to be with him. The old hymn writer put it like this, face to face, we shall behold him. Face to face, we'll be with him. Ever with him. You know, and then the second phase of the second coming, which is the millennial reign of Christ. The glorious appearing, when Jesus comes, not to the air, but to the earth. When he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. And as the scripture declares, and we're not going to go through the prophecies this morning, but when he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, that the Mount of Olives will split in two. He's coming to the earth, and he's coming with his saints. Hallelujah. You know, we are going home to be with him. But then, we're coming on holiday. We're coming back to the earth with him to rule and to reign. And during that time, that 1,000 years of reign, of peace, Satan shall be bound. You know, at the moment he's, as Pastor tells us, he's on a leash. But when he comes, when Jesus comes back and we come with him, the church with him, he's going to be bound. No more Satan for 1,000 years. Doesn't mean no more evil, but no more Satan. And then after the millennial reign, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's something for us to look forward to. But I don't want to speak about so much about the millennial reign this morning. I just want to talk about what this scripture says here in Acts chapter 1. You know, it says here, it says, "Men of Galilee," verse 11. "Why do you stand gazing up into heaven?" I love these words. "This go into heaven." You know, there's some beautiful words in that verse. You know, these two beings, these two angelic beings, I believe they were, these two men, the Bible identifies them as men, they stood by in white apparel. And they said these words to the disciples, who were in amazement, in bewilderment, looking up into heaven. They'd just seen Jesus being taken up into heaven. The cloud hid him from their sight. And they're looking up into heaven in amazement and wonder. And these two men said to them, "Guys, this same Jesus." Do you know, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus himself is coming back. He's not sending an angel for us. He's not sending a representative from heaven. He's coming back himself to receive you and me. He said that himself in John 14 verse 3. He says, you know the scripture in John 14. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Verse 1. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And then in verse 3 he says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. That where I am, there you may be also." Amen.
Amen.
He's coming back himself. In actual fact, the very last thing Jesus said that's recorded in the scriptures is this: "I am coming quickly." In the book of Revelation, the last promise in the scriptures is, "I am coming." Hallelujah. I'm coming. I'm coming for my church. I'm coming for the blood washed. I'm coming for those that are mine. I am coming. This same Jesus will come again. You know, and this same Jesus will come as he is. I believe he will come in bodily form, just as they saw him ascend into heaven. He won't come in spirit form. He will come for his own. He'll come to receive them to himself. Thessalonians puts it like this. Paul writes in the book of Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven." You know, that gets me excited. The Lord himself is coming. You know, when... if we have friends or relatives that come in and perhaps fly in from another country into the airport, we might promise to meet them at the airport. Now, we may not always be available to go, but we might send someone in our place to go and meet them. Well, thank God Jesus is coming himself and he's not sending anybody else. I'm glad he's coming for me. You know, he's not sending the Apostle Peter. He's not sending the Apostle John. He's not sending Paul or Abraham. He's not even sending an angelic being. He's coming himself to receive me, to receive you. This same Jesus. You know, just think about those words this morning. You know, the Jesus that walked with the disciples, the Jesus that ministered to the disciples, this same Jesus that went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This same Jesus that was crucified, that rose again from the grave. This same Jesus that ascended to his Father, he is coming back for you and me. Hallelujah. And then it says in the scriptures, and I like these words as well, it says, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. You know, let's just consider this phrase, in like manner. Well, how did Jesus go? Let's read it. Verse 9, it says this, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. One thing I notice in this scripture about the ascension of Jesus into heaven is that while he was speaking with them, when he had spoken, while he was talking, he was taken up. Now, I don't know whether they were expecting this to happen. I think perhaps not. He's finished speaking. He's been telling them that they've got to wait in Jerusalem, that they're going to be his witnesses. They're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He's telling them that he's going to send the Holy Spirit a comforter. They've got to wait. They've got to tarry for the promise of the Father. He's proclaiming to them the great commission that they're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And while he's doing this, and when he's come to the end, he's taken off. You know, this is unexpected. This is sudden. And you know, the coming of the Lord will be the same. It will come suddenly. Well, he will come suddenly, should I say. He will come unexpectedly. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and he says that the coming of the Lord will be like this. It will be as a thief in the night. You know not when the thief is coming. Because Jesus taught this parable, if you knew when the thief would come, you would wait up and be ready for him. The thief is not waiting when you're not expecting. The thief comes when you are feeling at your most secure. And if anybody, thank God, we've never been in that position. But if you have been in that position, you'll know that you could be at your most secure and then you can feel at your most vulnerable at that same time. The thief comes. And the return of Jesus Christ will be as a thief in the night, Paul declares. It will be suddenly, unexpectedly. Even though we're talking about it this morning, there'll still be those, even in the church. Even for those that are waiting and expecting, Jesus will still come unexpectedly. You know, we are living in a season, And I know the scripture says this, that we read it here, that we are not to concern ourselves with times and seasons. But we are living in a season. It is evident that the coming of the Lord is getting closer. As you look around the world today, you see the wickedness, the evil that is increasing. You know, Jesus spoke about it. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. You know, we are living in days where the coming of the Lord is getting close. Well, let me tell you this. It's closer today than it was last Sunday. It's closer today than we were yesterday. We're getting closer to the coming of the Lord. Doesn't that make you excited? We're getting closer. We're one day closer. And if the Lord tarries, tomorrow will be closer still. Amen. But know this. Even though we're waiting, even though we're expecting, even though we're looking forward to His coming, He will come suddenly. He will come unexpectedly. He will come as a thief in the night. But something else I see in these verses. It says here, it says, now when He had spoken these things, verse 9, it says, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Jesus ascended in the clouds. You know, when He comes, He will come in the clouds. Because the Bible says this, if, Brother Joe, can you give me Thessalonians, please? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Look what this scripture says here. I love these words. Verse 17. There it says, just give me 16 as well, please, Joe. Thank you. There it says, for the Lord Himself, we've already quoted this, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then look at these words. It says in verse 17, it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall ever be, or we shall always be, with Him. Amen. You know, he went in the clouds and He's coming in the clouds. And we're going to meet Him in the clouds. Amen. If we're alive, He's coming. We're alive at the rapture. No, we won't be the first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. But then we who are alive and remain, Paul says, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I don't know how He's going to do it. It's a mystery to me. But when He comes, the souls and spirits of all those that have gone before, that have died in Him, will go back via the grave and pick up their bodies. And then they will be transformed like us into a glorious body. Now, it's a mystery. But they will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's coming in the clouds. And then it says this in the scriptures. It says that the cloud received Him out of their sight. You know, He was hidden from their view in the cloud. I like to, it's been a a flaw really on my part for many years, but I like to watch the planes. I grew up watching planes. I used to love going to Heathrow Airport when I was a child. I wouldn't allow a child of that age to do it today, but I used to get on the bus when I was probably 9 or 10, and we used to live in London, in West London. I used to get on the bus on my own, as a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old. I used to take the bus to the airport, Heathrow Airport, and I used to spend time over Heathrow Airport I could spend many hours just looking at the planes. Was that sad? Is that sweet? Sweet or sad? A lot of people say that's sad. But that's what I used to go and watch the planes. I used to be one of these people that used to, with my binoculars, and I would look at the planes through binoculars and write down the registration details, and then I used to go home and get my book out, and I've seen that plane. I've seen that one. Cross it off my list. And even today, I still watch the planes as they come into land from our house. We live right under the flight path. And they come in right above our house. They take off over our house and they land over our house. And I watch them now. I'm not sad today. I don't sit there with my binoculars looking and taking down the registration details. But I look at it and see, there's another Air Malta coming in. A Lufthansa coming in. I know all the planes. That's my childhood. But I watch these planes coming in, and when they're taking off, sometimes if it's not such a good day, they're hidden from sight by the clouds. And you can hear them, but you can't see them. You know, and it says here in the scripture that Jesus, when he was taken up into heaven, the cloud received him out of their sight. The cloud hid him from their sight. But when he comes back, Corinthians tells us that he shall be revealed. Now to us, to his church at first, but when he comes back the second time with his church, with us, every eye shall see him, the scripture says. Every eye shall see him. Those that have turned their back on him, those that have blasphemed him, those that have rejected him, those that have spoken evil of him, every eye shall see him. And also in that day, the scripture says that every knee shall bow before him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord, but then it will be too late for them. But for us, for the church, when he comes in the clouds, yeah, he shall be revealed to us. We shall see him, and we shall go and meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Now the scripture also says, in verse 10 of Acts chapter 1, it says that two men stood by him, or stood by them in white apparel. The angels were present at his ascension. They proclaimed his return. You know, in this scripture in Thessalonians tells us, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. You know, the angels will announce his coming. Hallelujah. They will shout his coming. You know, they will proclaim his coming. The trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised. And we shall be raised incorruptible, the scripture says in Corinthians. The angels will announce his return. The shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. They'll be present. They were present at his birth. You know, this day is born in the city of David, they proclaimed, their Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They were present at his ascension. Hallelujah. And they will be present at his coming. The angels will announce that he is coming for his church. Amen. Two more things in closing this morning. Cloud received him out of their sight. Do you know, he left his saints. He left his children. ascended to his Father, and he left the church on earth. But when he comes, he's not coming to leave us here anymore. He's coming to receive us. He's coming back for his saints. He's coming back for his own. He will not leave us. We will go to meet him. Hallelujah. We will go with him. Yes, we will come back later, but we will be coming with him. We will never be left. Now while we're here, he has sent us a comforter. He has sent us the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. But when he comes back, we will have no more need of the comforter, because we will be with him. Hallelujah. We'll have no more need of a helper, no more need of a comforter, because we will be with him. Hallelujah. Now my last point here this morning. Look at what these men, these angels said to the disciples. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? They saw him go. They were looking into heaven, looking at him as he went. They saw the cloud receive him out of their sight. And they stood there gazing up into the clouds, probably wondering where he's gone, when he's coming back. Now these disciples were told not to stand gazing up into heaven, but we need to be looking, watching and waiting for his return. There are many scriptures Paul writes in the Thessalonians, to the Romans, to Titus. He writes that we're to be watching and waiting, looking, expecting his return. You know, what does that mean? It means we need to be ready for him. We need to have our clothes washed, our robes washed, our hearts purged. We need to be washed in his blood, waiting for his soon arrival. Now let me tell you this. Let me make sure I get the quotation right. The coming of the Lord will not be hurried for the impatient. Neither will it be delayed for the apathetic. He will come at the time pronounced by the Father, at the right time. Now we don't know when that's going to be. It could be within the next few seconds. It could be in the next few years. We need to be ready. We need to be waiting, watching and waiting. Not gazing up into the sky waiting for him, but we need to be, as we've already heard this morning, busy about the Father's business. Proclaiming the gospel message. Telling others about Jesus. You know, winning souls for him. Not that we do it, not that we can do the winning, but it's the Holy Spirit working through us. Our responsibility is to go and tell. Tell others about him. Jesus is coming back. Let's be ready. Let's be waiting. Welcoming his coming. You know, this same Jesus, the scripture says, we've read it. If you're going to take anything away from this morning, take away these two words. This same Jesus will so come in like manner as you saw him go. This same Jesus, this very same Jesus, is coming again for his church. Are you ready? I hope so. I pray so. I trust that your lives are ready, prepared to meet the Lord. If not, then do it today. Do it now. Right now. Don't even wait till the end of the service to speak to Pastor. Do it right now where you are sat. Amen.
Amen. Let's give it a hand. You're welcome to us. Thank you.